Matthew chapter 6 tonight. We're still looking at the Lord's Prayer. We're going to call this your partnership in the prayer tonight. And let's read this together again, starting with verse 9 with the Our Father. Matthew chapter 6.
And that's 9.
Starting with verse 9.
Okay.
After the first phrase there. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So tonight we are going to look at thy will be done. Father, we pray tonight that your will would be done in our lives and in this Bible study tonight. Just guide our direction, our discussion. And thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy, that we can follow your will and be at peace, knowing that you are a loving Father who has our best interest in mind. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you pray, Our Father, and then thy will be done, you're admitting five truths about God's will, and that's your outline there tonight. God has a plan for your personal life. Following God's plan is good for you. You can find and do God's will now. God's plan is not forced on you. And the Lord's Prayer will help you find God's plan. When you pray and ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, you realize there's a great difference between those two places. In heaven, angels don't pray about God's will. They just do it. In heaven, God's will is done instantly, not later. In heaven, God's will is done enthusiastically, not half-heartedly. In heaven, God's will is done completely, not partially. In heaven, God's will is done perfectly, not always the way we do it on earth. And so there are some differences, but we're asking God then that his will would be done on earth as in heaven, that we would just do his will, that we would do it instantly, that we would do it enthusiastically, that we would do it completely, and that we would do it perfectly. That's a tall order, but that's what we're asking for. So let's go through these points tonight. And first one, God has a plan for your personal life. You realize when you are asking your Father for this to happen, it's kind of like saying, well, we're going on vacation, but Father God, you pick the destination. You pick the place that we're going to be traveling to. And you make the plans, and we'll go along with your plans. You're surrendering your will to the sovereign God. You should know what you mean by God's will, and that is his desire. And when you pray for God's will to be done, you're actually meaning two things. It's God's plan for your life overall. You know, God, I believe, has a blueprint for your life. He's got an ultimate plan, ultimate goals for your life. And whatever happens on that daily basis, is God working in you to accomplish what we could call the big picture? You know, any great strategist in the military has a plan to eventually win the war. But inside that war are specific battles. And he has a battle plan for each battle, right? But even so, in the midst of the battle, he's still making decisions. But all those decisions are based on winning that battle and ultimately winning the war. In God's will for your life, he has the big picture in mind always. And he's not going to lose sight of that. So often we are tempted to take what seems good for the moment, right? We just live in the moment. And sometimes when we do that, we lose the big picture. But God doesn't do that. He's always got the big picture in mind. You know, ultimately, his goal is you're going to be like Jesus. And that is what he has predetermined is going to happen. And so the things that happen on a daily basis, are making you more like Jesus. He's got that goal in mind, and he tailor makes daily things into our lives to accomplish that ultimate goal. So you are praying for God's will to be done in your life based on his ability to see the big picture and to guide you through each day. So it's not only the big picture, but it's the daily decisions as well that we surrender to God, that we trust God in, and he guides us. Now, there are several expressions of God's will. First of all, there's the automatic will of God. Some things just happen. God has established laws by which he runs the universe. Then these strategies are laws of nature. All right, God's will is automatically done when you breathe. You don't have to make a decision to breathe. God has determined you're going to be alive, right? And so you automatically breathe. You don't think about it. In fact, if you think about breathing, it gets hard. Do you ever think about that? Now you'll go home tonight and you'll think, oh, I got to take another breath. Breathing is automatic. That's God's law. It's an expression of human nature. When a pencil rolls off the table, what happens to it? It lands on the floor. It just automatically happens, right? We call that the law of what?
Gravity.
If you jump off a table, you're going to get hit the floor. It's the law of gravity. You can't do anything about that. God has laws which function in heaven. And Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24, God says, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. So sometimes when you pray, thy will be done, things automatically happen. They automatically happen. You don't need to pray for water to boil at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. It's the law of nature. It just does it. The Lord of hosts purpose, and who shall disannul it? God says. A second expression of his will is his desire. This consists of things that he desires to be done, but are not always done. God wants certain things done that often don't happen. For example, God wants everyone to believe in him, right? It's not God's will that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance, all shall come to salvation. In John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that 2 Peter 3:9, where it's God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to reject him, but people do. That's not his desire, though. Does anybody know the shortest verse in the Bible, in the English language? Jesus wept. That's not the shortest in the Greek, but it is the shortest in the English. Jesus wept. We know that verse. Do we know why that verse is there? Do we know why Jesus wept? Do we know why he cried? He shed some tears of grief over witnessing his two friends, Martha and Mary, lose their brother Lazarus to death. Jesus was weeping along with his friends. And even then, he wanted everybody to put their faith in him, but there were still some that rejected him. God's will was thwarted. So when you pray, thy will be done, you are saying that you want to accomplish the desires of God, that God's desires might be done. The third expression of the will of God is what he commands. You mothers, when you say to your child, clean up your room, what's your desire? That's your will, right? That's your desire. God has certain commands to his children as well. For example, he says, be holy for I am holy. It's God's will that his children obey him so that the children of God be holy like they are. Now, those who are not holy disobey God. And so there are sometimes some consequences to those actions when we disobey God's commands, when we disobey his will. And actually, when we're praying, thy will be done, we are asking God to carry out those commands. You are asking God to help you be holy in response to his command. So there's a cry for help there. Lord, I know your will, but I need your help in accomplishing your will. I can't do this on my own. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your strength. So this is one of the reasons why we need to be in the Bible. Some of the commands of God we know about. Some we don't. As I'm studying, continuing to study for the Holy Spirit, I found there might be more, but I found four commands in the Bible that are in relation to the Holy Spirit. Two are positive commands, two are negative. The positive commands are, we are to be filled with the Spirit. And that's just not a one-time filling, it's a continuous filling. We are to remain full of the Holy Spirit. That's a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. That's something positive. The other positive command is to walk in the Spirit. We are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what? I need help walking in the Spirit. I do. I need help continually being full of the Spirit. So when I'm praying, God, would your kingdom come? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm appealing to God. God, this is your command. Help me fulfill those commands. The negative commands that have to do with the Holy Spirit, we could say we do things sometimes that hurt the helper. You know, the Holy Spirit is our helper. So one is quench not the Spirit. Sometimes we quench the Spirit. The Spirit wants to do something, but we don't allow him to. The Holy Spirit says yes, and we say no. And the other negative command in the Scripture concerning the Holy Spirit is don't grieve the Spirit. Do not grieve him. Sometimes we're guilty of that. So I need help, not only in carrying out the positive commands of God, I need help in the negative areas as well. There are some things the Holy Spirit says yes, and I say no to. There are some things the Holy Spirit says no to, and I say yes to. So I need help in obeying the command. The second part of this idea here of following God's will is to realize that following God's will is good for you. And let me say this, it's always good for you. I think sometimes people view it as, well, if I follow God's will, it's kind of like a Cracker Jack box. I'll put my hand in there, sometimes I'll get a prize, sometimes I won't. You know, I'll follow God's will, sometimes I'll get the blessing, sometimes I won't. It's always good to follow God's will. Some people think the will of God is like a bag of marbles. It's something that they could pull out, shine up, and show off, you know, see who has the best marbles. It's not like that. Some people think the will of God is kind of like Santa's bag. It's full of candy and toys. They only come around once a year. But God knows who's naughty and who's nice, and he only gives to those who are good. Sometimes, though, we need to realize that choice that God gives us belongs to him. It's what he thinks is best for us. And when we know that we are maturing in the Christian life, when we leave God's gifts, we leave the choice of what he gives to us up to him. You know, when we're children, we make out a list of things that we want for Christmas. Some people send it off to Santa Claus, some people give it to mom, dad, whatever. This is what we want. And we're disappointed if we don't get what we want when we're kids, right? As adults, hopefully we're not that way anymore, but I remember my mom, she used to hold off the thing that I really wanted until the end and usually hid it somewhere. I mean, the first few years I'm very disappointed, but then after you catch on, you know, that there's probably another gift somewhere else. But when we are mature, if we leave the choice up to God, because God will give what's good to us. I read where some people think the will of God is the red telephone on the president's desk to be used as a last resort. The fact is that God's will should be the first thing that we seek. So God's will is good. It's good for you. It's good for your family. It's good all the way around. Sometimes God will say, no, that's not because he wants to be mean, but he does need to put limits on our life, and we need to learn to obey him, even if he doesn't give us what we want. So again, God's will is appropriate for you. He doesn't ask you. God's will is, let me say it this way, is tailor-made for you. It's appropriate for you. God doesn't ask you to be the center on the basketball team if you're only 5'10". He doesn't ask you to teach a Bible class on spiritual gifts and administration and management if that's not what your gift is, if that's not where your area of expertise is. God doesn't do that. When you pray, thy will be done, you are like a little boy who knows he can't do what his father wants without his help. Let's say, we'll stay on the Christmas scene. Let's say a little boy gets a new bicycle for Christmas, but he doesn't know how to ride that bike. Perhaps tears would even be falling down his cheek. And finally he gets to the point and he says, Dad, help me. Right? You remember teaching your children how to ride a bike? You remember that? That wasn't that long ago, right? They got a new bike. They didn't know how to ride it. They never rode a bike before. What did you do? You walked behind them with that bike, right? Ran. And then finally, they're getting up enough speed. They seem to be smooth. You let go. And to their surprise, they turn around and you're not there. And they are balancing the bike and they're riding the bike. Sometimes I think God is like that. God's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. But if he asks you to do something he knows you can do with his help, he'll put you to the test. And so what you need to do is say, God, help me. And God's just not going to let you flounder and fall. But he'll be like the dad or the mom and the little boy on the bike. He'll walk beside you. He'll help you until you get going. And then he lets you go. He lets you go. That's not a perfect analogy, though, because God never really ever lets go. But you know what I mean. You're out there and you've proven yourself, and God lets you take off. The petition, thy will be done. Means that we must be willing to do it right now. You know, a mother tells a child to come in from play because it's dinner time. The child continues to play sometimes. So the mother goes to the door and announces, I want you to come into this house this very minute. She wants instant obedience, right? She wants you to come when she calls you. When we are praying, thy will be done, we should realize that we're telling God that we're going to obey the first time. When God calls, we will answer. And then, number three, you can find and do God's will now. You're not asking God to do your will. You're not asking God to change his will. And you're not asking God to bless your will. You're asking God to help you find and do his will in your life. Before you become a Christian, you sit on the throne of your life. You're like a king who you've ruled your life and pleased yourself. But then that issue of salvation comes. And the question is then, who's going to sit on the throne? Who's going to sit on the throne of your life? Will you continue to sit on your throne or your heart's throne, or will you let Christ be enthroned there? When you become a believer, you let Christ take control of your life. It's like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Salvation is a picture of our will saying yes to the issue of allowing Christ to sit on the throne of our lives. So we must pray daily, thy will be done. And when you make that prayer daily, it's a conscious decision to let Christ direct our lives. You're saying, Lord, here's another day. It's another day where I'm going to take myself off the throne. I'm going to put you on it. I'm going to let you on the throne. There's not room for two people on the throne of your heart. It's either going to be you or it's going to be Christ. He's not going to share that throne with you. Okay? So one of you are on the throne. So who is it? You know, is it Christ or is it me? So when we pray, thy will be done, we pray that on a daily basis. It's a conscious decision to make sure that we're not on the throne, but Christ is. I mean, and you stop and think about this. Every day then, we're saying yes. We're saying yes to God's will. And the first time we do it is probably the hardest. You know, the first time we say, yes, God, I'm going to let you sit on the throne, that's probably the hardest. It's the biggest yes that we make. But then after that, every day gets a little bit easier to say yes to God. Because we realize that I gave yesterday to God, and wow, what a great day it was. Here's another day. I can trust God today because he was faithful yesterday. And then we get to day three. I can trust God even more today because he's been faithful in the first couple of days. The longer you live in life, the more days you've got under your belt, the more we should be able to be at peace in letting God have that day. When you pray, thy will be done. You may be asking God to help you find his plan for you in the Bible and to understand it. David understood that the word of God had some things in it that he didn't understand. And so he prayed, open thou my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. So when this helps you understand the Bible and the things that you read. When you pray, thy will be done. It may be a prayer of yielding your will to God's will. Do you remember, now this might have been a long time ago for some of you. Do you remember going through driver's ed? Yeah, everybody remembers that. First of all, did you just get in the car and start driving? First you had classroom instruction, right? Before you had behind the wheel training. And even when you got in the car, you didn't take off right away, did you? The instructor still has to give you some instructions before he actually gives you the keys and lets you turn the key and take off. In the same way, I think as we drive through life, so to speak, God gives us some instructions. And God teaches us. And eventually he'll take us out on an instructional driving course and so that we can model correct driving techniques. At some point, though, that teacher gives the students the key to the car. He lets them take control of the steering wheel, the gas pedal, and the car yields to that student. You may know that God has a plan for your life. You might even understand what it means. You may have listened to Bible lessons about God's plan for your life and even had somebody explain practical steps, maybe a mentor, a teacher or something, tell you how God's plan should be carried out, how it should be lived. But there comes a time, though, when you yield your life to God, you let go and he takes over. Then you understand thy will be done. Now, I'm one that I like to drive. I think most men like to drive. Either that or the women are just nice and submissive. I don't know what it is, but some women drive and men sit. But I like to drive. I like to be in control of the car. And sometimes that's our bent toward God too. God, I like to be in control. I like to do the driving. But if we can give the keys over to God and say, here, God, you drive, that's really finding his will. Any questions, comments so far?
I just had a comment when you were talking about that driver's ed.
Yeah.
I can remember being in the car when we were going to go be in a wheel praying, God, let somebody else go first so I can see what he does. And I thought about God's word, by reading God's word, You are seeing what somebody else has done.
Yes, absolutely. It's a good way to look at it. Good point.
At 16, you got that.
Yeah, at 16. At 16, I'll do anything to pass. I had a woman instructor. So I opened every door for her, every car door, the door to the building and everything. I tried to be a perfect gentleman as far as I could. So it worked, I guess. I passed.
She thought you were nice.
She almost failed me, though, because I still to this day, I cannot back up in a straight line. I don't know what it is. I have trouble backing up. I'm like, I would never make it as a semi-driver. I'd never be able to back in those small spots. So, but I don't.
Try and pull in and go to the next parking spot so you can pull out.
Yes, yeah. I do that a lot. So it's been a real challenge learning how to drive a vehicle with a trailer on. Now my boys, they are so good at it, they can hit that hole the first time. Me, I'm sitting out there for back and forth. But I'm learning, just like I'm learning God's plan, God's will. And then the last thing here, not the last thing here, it's next to last. God's plan is not forced on you. It's not forced on you. If we don't live by his automatic laws, his universal laws, we suffer consequences. There are natural results that come when we break known laws. Some have found that out the hard way. They have broken some of God's moral laws, and they've suffered the consequences because of that. There are consequences that will be paid when we disobey God's laws. It's the way it's set up. Sometimes you have not done God's will because you didn't know what he wanted. And sometimes we want something and we get upset when it doesn't happen. But maybe we've missed something. You know, maybe we've missed a step. Suppose you wanted a raise with your company. You've done a lot of work. You expect a raise. You think you should be getting a raise, but you didn't get it. You get your paycheck and you look at it and it's the same amount that you got the time before and you didn't get the raise. So you get a little bit upset about that. And you think, why didn't I get the raise? Maybe you didn't get it because you didn't know what the organization expected of you. And your supervisor pulls you aside and you say, why didn't I get a raise? And the supervisor says, well, we wanted to give you a raise, but you didn't fill out the paperwork correctly. Here, let me show you how to fill out the paperwork. And so then if your supervisor shows you how to fill out the paperwork correctly, you fill it out correctly and you hand it in, you get the raise. Sometimes what I'm trying to say is we don't get God's blessing because we're not doing something right. Okay? So what God does, he says, let me show you how to do this correctly. And then when we do it correctly, God honors us and we get that raise that they wanted. When you are praying, thy will be done, you are saying, God, help me to live by kingdom principles. You know, show me your will. Show me the way to blessing. Sometimes when we pray, thy will be done, we're saying that God does not accept the world the way it is. And that's true. God does not like some of the things that go on in the world. And then we hear this question all the time, or this statement, you know, if God is really God, why does he allow all this evil in the world? I'm telling you that God doesn't like it. He doesn't like the evil in the world. He doesn't like crime and disease. God doesn't want lying politicians and corrupt businesses. So when you are praying, thy kingdom come, you are asking God to change the world. Or maybe you're praying, God, what do you want me to do to change the world? To change my part of the world? So that we, the world can follow your plan more closely. You know, I think a lot of times we see all the corruption, we see all the evil in the world, and we throw up our hands in despair. But Jesus didn't react that way. When he saw the money changers in the temple taking advantage of the people, he took action. He did something about it. He threw those money changers out. He cleansed the temple twice, once at the beginning of his ministry and once at the end of his earthly ministry. So when you pray, "Thy will be done," you may be submitting your attitude to God. "God, I've had a wrong attitude. But I realize that my attitude needs to change if you want to bless me. If your will is going to be done, my attitude needs to change. I've had a wrong attitude, a bad attitude." And then maybe God will say, "Well, I don't want to just change your attitude. Here's what I want you to do about that situation." And you yield your attitude and the results of that to God. So it's yielding to God. And you know, all kinds of things we could think of that we need to yield to God, right? Our money, our time. Any of those things, and all of those things, we need to yield to God on a daily basis. There are some days when I know I have things that I have to do. I'd rather do something else. I don't know if that's you, if it ever happens to you, but I'd rather do something else. Lord, I'm not really looking forward to doing this today. Can I just do something else today? But that's yielding my will to God's will. The Lord's Prayer here is for all believers, including the disciples under the Old Testament law when Christ first taught it, and those who live under the authority of Christ under the New Covenant. Jesus knew his disciples would be the foundation of the church, so when they asked, "Teach us to pray," he gave them this prayer, which transcends all dispensational barriers. In other words, this prayer is for all time, for all people. And then finally, the Lord's Prayer will help you find God's plan. It'll help you find God's will. Because hopefully, when you are praying the Lord's Prayer, you are not just repeating words, but you are really seeking God. You're seeking God's will with all your heart. As Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Now, as far as understanding the big picture in God's plan, to some people, that plan comes slowly and gradually. I've made it a point now not to ask somebody when they graduate high school, "What is your plan?" Because I have discovered that a lot of people just don't know yet. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know some people that, yeah, you asked them at 18 what their plan was, but their plan changed over and over and over again. And I think our young people are pressured into making a decision they're not ready to make. What they're going to do with their life is a big decision. And sometimes God's plan is not all up front that we can see it. Some of you probably know that I had no desire to be a pastor, none whatsoever. If you would have asked me at 18 years old what God's plan was for my life, I would have given you a completely different plan than where I am at today. I would never have said I'm going to be a pastor. God's plan was not revealed to me up front. It was revealed to me over time. And God had to do some things that were a work in my heart to change my heart so that I would follow his will. God had to do some things with Debbie because she wasn't going to be a pastor's wife. We were a perfect match. We weren't going to be pastors. And then it was really neat. You've probably heard me. If you have, indulge me for just a minute. But the Sunday that I was in my home church and God called me to be a pastor, that same Sunday, Debbie was in her home church and God was working on her heart to say, hey, if Rick wants to be a pastor, you need to tell him that it's okay with you. We both wrote letters to each other. I dreaded writing the letter to her, telling her that God was calling me into the ministry. God is calling me to be a pastor. And she's writing a letter to me. I don't think it was as hard for her to write hers as it was me. Maybe. I don't know. You'd have to ask her, I guess. But she wrote me saying that God worked on her heart. And if I ever wanted to be a pastor, she was okay with that. And she probably thought it wasn't going to happen. She was safe saying that. But anyway, our letters crossed in the mail. And God, that's how God worked in our lives. So we need to be willing to submit to God's plan, even if we don't know what it is. And God's will is not revealed always right up front. Sometimes it's a process. And so I'm going to encourage you to be patient with people who don't know really what God's will is for them, what God's purpose is. I'll tell you one way you can know what God's will is, and that is whatever you are doing today, and if you have the peace in that, that's God's will for you. And you don't change that until God tells you. God will tell you when he wants to do something different in your life, when he wants you to do something different. And until then, you just keep doing what you are doing. Yes, Sue. Sure. I think so too. And I think you did the right thing. You just stay the course, stay what you're doing until God leads you to something else. And you'll know it. We want to know God's will. We want to do God's will. So I think we stress that too much. It becomes too much of a stressing point in our life as we're trying to seek it. We're trying to find it. God's will find you. God wants you to do his will more than you want to do his will. God's will find you if you are faithful. So to get ahead of God, just be at peace and content to do God's will that day. And that's what this Lord's Prayer is, really. It's a daily prayer. It's just focusing on that day. You let God worry about the future. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, you don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. You don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So you just focus on one day at a time. You focus on that day. And then God's plan sometimes comes slowly and gradually. Like the dawning of a new day. You know, the sun does not just burst on the scene suddenly. It's not pitch black and all of a sudden it's 12 o'clock noon. You know, the sun's high in the sky. There's a faint trace of light that begins to drive away the shadows long before it gets bright outside. So God's plan might come slowly to anyone, but you continue to pray on a daily basis, thy will be done, and God will reveal his plan, at least for that day. To other people, though, the plan is like turning on a light switch in a dark room. They just know. There is an instantaneous revelation that comes. Young people, sometimes they know exactly what they're going to do from a young age. Sometimes other people might know God's plan for your life before you do. That's surprising. My grandmother, when I finally told my family that God was calling me to be a pastor. God was calling the ministry. My grandmother said, well, yeah, I knew that since you were 4 years old. But I had no desire. God had to work in my heart to change my desire, but she knew it. I had friends, though, that knew what they were going to do. There was no doubt in their life. They knew what they were going to do. So, but God doesn't work with everybody the same way. And maybe he just turns lights on for you, or maybe he works more slowly. He works more slowly with me. But God does, he does want us to follow his will. And the Lord's Prayer teaches us, I think, not to rush into his presence like children, worried about our problems, or even anticipating a gift, but just coming to spend time with him and acknowledge his agenda, his will. So when you pray, thy will be done, you're letting God reveal his will. You're letting God reveal his plan for your life. God has that big picture, but every day he's leading you one step closer to that big picture. And you just worry about that day. You just let God take care of that day. Actually, don't worry about it, but just serve God in it. Questions? Comments? Okay, well, we'll dismiss. Then we'll have our conversation like last week, right? We'll pray. Father, thank you for your desire to work good in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for each of us. And you are accomplishing that plan in our lives as we yield to you. I ask, Lord, that as we grow, we mature, as we get closer to you, that each day it'll be easier to submit to you and your lordship. That the old song that we used to sing would be true, that you get sweeter as the days go by. Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. And we thank you and praise you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.